Well, good evening, everyone. We are going through developing godly characters. So this week, the character that we'll be looking at is kindness, about the kindness. I was looking at a list of special days in a year, a list of special days. Tomorrow, what is a special day in a year? Martin Luther King Jr. Day, great. And there is a Groundhog Day. When is that? February 2nd. There is something called Thinking Day. The whole day must be thinking. Okay. There is a Dr. Seuss Day. Okay. There is a Pi Day, March 14th. Don't forget it. Okay. St. Patrick's Day. World Poetry Day, if anyone is interested. There is one interesting thing. World Toilet Day. Okay. Especially in the countries where they don't have toilets, right? It's a very serious matter. Okay. Mother's Day, Father's Day. There is a Star Wars Day. Okay. May 4th, don't forget. And on November 13th, there is one day that is called World Kindness Day. Have you ever thought a day will be there? World Kindness Day. So this evening, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 9. I will read it for you, chapter 9. Then David said, "Is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "I am your servant." The king said, "Is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet." So the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodebar." Then King David sent and brought him from the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodebar. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he said, "Here is your servant." David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul. And you shall eat at my table regularly." And he prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "According to all that my lord the king commands his servant, so your servant will do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table as one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a son, young son, whose name was Micah, and all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate at the king's table regularly. Now he was lame in both feet. Let's look to the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this privilege of looking at your word. Lord, as we see your word, Help us to understand what is the meaning of kindness. Help us, Lord, to apply that into our lives. Speak to us this evening. Thank you, Lord, for providing us good facility, good health to come over here to listen to the word. Help us, Lord, open our eyes of understanding. Open our ears so that we can absorb, we can understand what is here. Speak to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. What are the examples of kindness? Examples of kindness. I'll read some examples for you. Ask someone, how are you really doing? And then really listen to their response. Be a friend who listens. Be kind to someone you dislike. Each time you get a new item of clothing or a toy, give away something that is old. So these are all examples of kindness. Cook a meal for someone. Give care packs to the homeless. Visit the elderly in a nursing home. Let a fellow driver merge into your line. That's an act of kindness. Let someone go in front of you in line. Pay the toll for the driver behind you. That's an act of kindness. Put your shopping cart back in its place. That's also an act of kindness. Return a shopping cart. Take a minute to direct someone who is lost, even though you are rushing. Thank your police or fire department. Thank you. It's an act of kindness. Use less plastic. That's also an act of kindness. Pick up trash. Mentor a child or teen. Act of kindness. So as we see here, the kindness, we have been looking at these godly characters, developing godly characters, how we can develop godly characters, especially with respect to kindness this evening. We read this passage, David's kindness to Mephibosheth. So the first verses 1 to 5, if you want to write in notes, please go ahead. Kindness seeks out for people who are in need. Kindness seeks out for people who are in need. If you look at this first five verses, David said, is there anyone left out of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? He's inquiring. He's asking. Think about the life of David. David fought with a great giant. What's his name? Goliath. David's life, if you see, at the age of 12, he was anointed by Samuel. At the age of 17, he defeated Goliath. At the age of 17, he was anointed at the age of 12 to become king. But God looked at his life. He said, he needs some skills. He
his resume is not up to date. He needs to get extra certifications. And he put him on the job. 17, at the age of 17, defeating Goliath. Afterwards, he was completely chased by Saul. Every day, he was chased by Saul. And interestingly, Saul's son, Jonathan, becomes a good friend of David. A very good friend of David. And they gets into a covenant. They gets into a covenant, saying that you are going to take care of my offspring. Though you are, all the enemies of David dies, but you will take care of my offspring. There was a strong covenant made between David and Jonathan. And afterwards, he becomes anointed as king over Judah at the age of 30, over Israel at the age of 37. He goes on to wars. He becomes a well-established king. Everything is set. Everything is set. He's become king. At that time, think about if you are in that situation. If I am in that situation, what happens? I'll squander all my resources. I'll misuse my time. That happened. That's why I'm telling. Misuse my time. Misuse the talents. Misuse the gifts. But here we see in the first 5 verses. Let's see. Then David said, is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul? He's inquiring. He's seeking. What is that first thing? Kindness seeks out for people who are in need. David can sit on his kingdom, kingly palace. But here, he's asking, is there anyone left out in Jonathan's family?
And verse 2, there was a servant of the house of Saul, whose name was Ziba, and they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, yes. Think about a king putting an inquiry.
He's calling out, is there anyone?
The king said, is there not yet anyone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? Look at the first verse. He said, I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And in the third verse, he's telling God's kindness. When you look at David's life, it's all about kindness. So many psalms he wrote, Lord, show me kindness. He experienced kindness. Because he experienced kindness, he can show kindness to others. The input of that kindness coming out. See, many times we are not in a position to show kindness because we have not experienced kindness. To put oneself in other's shoes, it's very difficult. And here we see David. Is there anyone left out? Is there anyone left out? That is the kindness. Kindness seeks out, as we read that verse, for the Son of Man came to seek and save that was lost. Looking out for people, looking out, not to get into the comfort zone, but stepping out of the comfort zone, seeking out people who are in need. And we see here, just telling one act of thanksgiving, saying a good morning to a person standing next to you in the elevator. It's an act of kindness. Say, I love you to someone you love. Say, please and thank you, and really mean it. Here we see David experienced that kindness when he was going through the valleys, when he was going through those forests,
when he was going through the deserts, he experienced God's kindness. And he is calling out, is there anyone, someone left so that I can show kindness?
Verses 6 to 8. Let me read for you. 6 to 8. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he said, here is your servant. David said to him, do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan, and will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly. And again he prostrated himself and said, what is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?
The first point that we looked at is, kindness seeks out for people who are in need. And these verses 6 to 8, kindness strengthens the faint-hearted. We see David, how he's strengthening Mephibosheth.
He says in verse 6, do not fear, for I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father Jonathan.
Kindness strengthens the faint-hearted. People who are going through different levels of complex issues in their lives.
What is the opposite of kindness is
harsh, combativeness, rudeness, irritability, or even a mean spirit. But we see here David, he's strengthening him. Strengthening a faint-hearted. Think about a king calling Mephibosheth coming into the presence of king. How much he must be really, what is the reason that he called me? If you get a call from a president or a high official, definitely you will think, what's the reason? If you get a call from cop, you will really think, what is the reason?
Here we see kindness strengthening the faint-hearted. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn there if you can. Chapter 4, verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Verse 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you.
So kindness, it really seeks out an opportunity to strengthen the faint-hearted.
I was really looking at this meaning of various verses, bitterness, anger. When I came to clamor, C-L-A-M-O-R, I didn't understand. So I looked at the dictionary. It says, clamor means make loud demands. Utter or insist with noise. Compel someone to do something by consistent clamoring. But when we look at David's life, it's not so. He called him, he said, do not be afraid. Okay. Kindness
It strengthens the faint-hearted.
So third, when we look at verses 9 to 13. Going back to 2 Samuel 9, chapter 9. Verses 9 to 13. Then the king called Saul's servant Ziba and said to him, "All that belonged to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table regularly." So the third point from this, kindness elevates people from their current situations. Kindness elevates people. They encourages them. They raises them up from their current situations. Here, look at the situation of Mephibosheth. He was lame in both feet. And David calls him and he makes him sit at his table. So there is a saying, our privileges are not for our pleasures, but for God's purposes. Our privileges, they are not for our pleasures, but they are for God's purposes. We could see that in Acts 13:36, we read that verse. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation. That's very interesting. When did David serve? In his own generation. David did not serve Abraham's generation. David did not serve the later generation. In his generation, he served. Our privileges, they are not for our pleasures, but for God's purposes. So there are three simple points we looked at. One is kindness seeks out for people who are in need. And second one, kindness strengthens the faint-hearted. And third one, kindness elevates people from their current situations. So having said all these things, what is it for us? As Christians, as Western Wake Bible Chapel, how are we going to apply these things in our lives? Kindness seeks out for people who are in need. Kindness strengthens the faint-hearted. Kindness elevates people from their current situations. What is our situation? We are looking at David's life. What about our situation? Let's look at verse from Titus. Let's look at Titus chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 4. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared. The kindness of God appearing into our lives. There is a connective word. It says, but when the kindness of our God, right? So what is our previous situation is, look at verse 3. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. That was the condition. From that condition, He brought us into the knowledge of Savior. From that condition, what was the condition? Foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts, pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. From that condition, when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
So that was our condition. Our condition was disobedient, deceived, hateful, hating one another. And God brings us into His family. What do you think? These things are there still in our lives? Disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts. I'm not talking about people who are outside of the church, outside of faith now. I'm talking about people who are inside. When we went to Dallas, the top list they're talking about, the new sin in the city, the top pest list, pornography. We are not talking about non-believers. Hating one another. Where it happens? It happens right in the church. Hateful, envy. So, what is the solution? I don't have my watch. Just I have 10 minutes. We have to discuss this really. What is the solution? We are talking about kindness. See, many churches, they don't have kindness. Because of that, what's happening is, lot of para churches, they come up. Just to come out of pornography, there is one ministry. Just to come out of anger, there is one ministry. Just to come out of financial difficulties, one ministry. See, churches, they are not competent enough to handle this. How can we handle as a small church? What is our roadmap? Look at the challenge that we are facing. The kindness of God appeared. We could see, even in our lives, the change is happening. We are far better. God has been working in our lives. But what is the solution? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 22. Chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and what? Kindness. Here we see kindness is described as a fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Very interesting. It is not described as an attribute of Spirit. A character of Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is a botanical name, right, brother? Fruit. botanist, scientist is with us. If anything I speak wrong, he will correct me. Okay. Fruit has a character of growth. And also here, but the fruit of the spirit is, it's not fruits of the spirit. Love is one fruit, joy is one fruit. I will have only love, you have joy. No, no. It's a fruit of the spirit means all the acts of kindness that we are talking here, they're only acts of that kindness, of only the kindness. They don't have a full sense of that fruit. These are all the things, you know, I brought it from even many of you don't like. Some of the things are cut and paste from Oprah. She has 35 acts of kindness. I don't know much about her. You know, you are in this USA, how she has brought up, how she made the shows. You know better than me. See, you're far advanced, I say, as an Indian. I'm sorry to tell this. Far advanced in the sense, so much has happened in the United States in terms of history. So much struggle, so many people. Really, people gave their lives. And talking about World Health Day, what is that? It's about saying thank you in your cubicle. It's saying hello in your floor. But here, the fruit of the spirit, it goes beyond. It goes into the heart of hearts. The fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. And we see here, just above that, there is a great fight is going on, a battle, a war between flesh and spirit. We have an enemy, especially here, the flesh and the spirit. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under these things. So as a Christian, falling, getting up, seeking God's kindness, what is that we are going to decide this evening? How we are going to make, how do we model this kind of kindness, this kind of biblical kindness into our lives? Is it possible for us as human beings? No, it's not possible. If I think I'm showing kindness, I'm a good person, done. You're not in the race of spiritual race. If I think I have come to a place, I have achieved, I have grown, done. You are outside of the game. We see here, there is a huge fight, flesh and spirit. And the solution there is walk according to the spirit. Walk according to the spirit. As we are filled with the spirit of God, as we show forth the fruits of the spirit, and in this case, the kindness, as we surrender our lives to the Lord, as we give our control to Him, that's where the fruit, we can see the kindness growing and growing, and like that fruit, how it grows. So let's take a stock of where we are in our lives this evening, and as a church, what is that? Let's come out of our shell. And we have young people, and we have families who are in need. Let's reach out to them as we just saw. Kindness seeks out for people who are in need. Let's see who are in need. Let's make a decision of calling at least one family once in a week. Let's cover the entire year. Call one family. Kindness seeks out for the people who are in need. People are in need, very much in need. Kindness strengthens the faint-hearted. When you see other people, strengthen them. Ask them how the week was. What's going on? Get involved in their lives. Let your shoulders rub. You may fight each other. That's fine. So Christians, as Christians, we think we should never fight in the church. We should not have any fights between the families. No, no. There should be fights. Afterwards, they should come together by the kindness of God. That's the testimony. Yeah, when we interact, we have different of opinions, different of lifestyles, different of approaches. But with God's kindness, we can overcome. Let's strengthen the faint-hearted, and kindness elevates the people from their current situation. Let's reach out to each other, 2017. Okay. Let this godly character be ours. Let this godly character be ours. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the kindness of our Lord Jesus. He is the best role model. He is the one who thought it not robbery, but he came down. Thank you, Lord, for his kindness towards us. As we entered into this year, Lord, as we are looking at these godly characters, help us, Lord. Help us to understand and help us to apply these things in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for the life of David, that is a man after God's heart. We could see kindness, how he showed kindness to Mephibosheth. Help us, Lord, to do this to our brothers and sisters, to our family members, to our friends, to our friends especially who are not believing, Lord. Help us, Lord. Thank you. Bless this week, and your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.